Richie Neal is the congressman from the Massachusetts 1st District, my district in Massachusetts. Richie, we talked a little bit about your taking over the Ways and Means chairmanship. There are those people who are calling for revenge on Trump, investigations. They say you, sir, have the power to grab his taxes. And for the first time, the American people will know why he's been protecting them for so long. Want to take on some of that?
Sure. I mean, I think that the idea here is not revenge. It's more about clarity. And I think that certainly we will ask for the tax forms on the Democratic side. And I expect that once the Secretary of the Treasury is notified, who oversees the Internal Revenue Service, then they're going to have to make a determination as to whether or not they're going to accede to that request. And from there, because the law in 1924, which was established in the aftermath of the Teapot Dome scandal, the law is very clear. And at the same time, I think that it's likely to be met with a court case, and it could go on for a considerable period of time. But the idea here is not so much about investigation as much as it is about oversight. I mean, I've long bristled at the idea that presidents tend to try to usurp congressional authority. And they do it under the guise of what they call strong leadership, when the better argument here is that the framers of our constitutional system, for good reason, established Congress as the first branch of government. And there is nothing in my memory that got Republicans during the George W. Bush years into more trouble than the fact that they did everything he said. So I think that the better argument here is for Congress to embrace its constitutional responsibility to provide oversight of the executive. The American Revolution, in some measure, was fought for that purpose, and the argument at that time was very clear, and that was not to create in the executive a king. So oversight is essential. People can call it whatever they'd like, but oversight is not revenge.
Now, we know that one of the things that really cost Trump dearly when people voted this time was the new tax bill, which, you know, does prohibit the deductibility of state and local taxes. He's still got to be the president, and he's still got a Senate, but is there anything you could do about that?
Well, we're going to certainly have some hearings on it, and I assume we're going to have some votes on it as well. And I intend to start with the issue of making sure that we enshrine the guarantee that you will not lose your insurance because of a pre-existing condition. So that's going to be item number one on the Democratic Ways and Means agenda.
Well, how do you do it? I'm sorry, Richie, for interrupting, but how do you do that? I mean, if you only have one house.
And, well, they have done, I think, a disservice by picking apart through administrative agencies the Affordable Care Act. And we intend to say that you can no longer compromise the issue of pre-existing condition, that we're going to vote on it, and we're going to vote on it in the Ways and Means Committee, and then we're going to vote on it on the House floor. And I think because the president and others said during the course of the campaign that they favored it, despite what they were trying to do to it, that will, I think, be very important, not only in terms of messaging, but in terms of sound policy. So the country's facing also, I think, a crisis in terms of retirement savings. So I think protecting Social Security, dealing with the multi-employer pension plans in the Midwest, that's going to be terribly important. And I also think that there's some room here on an infrastructure bill. And the Ways and Means Committee would oversee that. And I'm hopeful because the president campaigned on it, and I've had conversations with the Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, over this, and I'm ever so hopeful that we're going to find common ground. We're going to have a very short window here, Alan. I mean, I think that if we're going to do any of these issues to the satisfaction of the American people, they probably are going to have to be done in the first 8 or 9 months of the year, given that the presidential race, by the time we get to the fall, will really be beyond the formative stage. We'll know exactly who's where as we proceed to the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary. So I think that those are the sorts of issues that I'd like to demonstrate that we can embrace and get some things done for the American people.
Okay, so let's help me with this because I'm much slower than you are. But let's say that you decide there's something you want to get done, deductibility or preserving, you know, one of the facets of the health more. You now have the power to bring it up for a vote, which you haven't had for years. And so you pass it on the floor. It goes through the committee. You pass it on the floor. The other guys say, hell no, we're not going to consider this. Does that become a crisis of sorts?
it becomes a big election issue for anybody running for president, I can tell you that, and that's how issues generally crystallize. People start to look at them and say, well, am I carrying unnecessary baggage going into this election cycle? When you look at the issue of pre-existing condition, that polls in the 80s with the American people. And when you get to the 80 percentiles, that's a pretty good indication of a pretty aggressive trend. And the idea that a child could be born in America with diabetes, for example, and then never be able to get health insurance or have their health insurance rated, that was a substantial achievement of the Affordable Care Act. And I think that if the House passes it, as surely it will, to protect the pre-existing condition provision, it'll be very difficult for Mitch McConnell and others in the Senate to resist that, given the fact that President Trump says he's for protecting that issue as well.
But only when he took a look at the wall and saw that this train was coming down the track, to mix a few metaphors there.
Well, I think that your metaphors are correct, because when you discuss what I think was the deciding issue in this election cycle, it was the issue of health care again. I mean, I've watched the rhythm to this issue, and it's one thing to criticize people for advancing the benefit, but boy, they discovered what happens when you try to take it away.
I see that your friend in the next district, you're the first district, the second district, Representative McGovern, is in line to run the Rules Committee, which sets the rules up for these debates. That's a lot of power for Western Massachusetts, isn't it?
It sure is, and I think that long service in the central and western parts of the state has brought about this day. So Jim's a good friend. I think he'll do a great job. The Rules Committee is a scheduling committee. Recall that, unlike the Senate, matters that come to the floor of the House of Representatives have to be surrounded by a rule.
They need a rule.
The rule determines, very simply, what the amendments are, whether or not they're applicable and germane, and then it sets time constraints. So the House operates on procedure, and very carefully within those guidelines is the whole issue of how amendments in legislation is scheduled as it comes to the floor.
Yeah, I remember. I'm old enough to remember, not you, I don't think, when Judge Smith, who was in charge of the Rules Committee, used to go apple picking when he didn't want to pass a piece of legislation.
Well, and it was also, recall, a determination by a very, very strong president, Lyndon Johnson, that broke his grip.
How did that work? Do you remember?
Well, I think that Johnson was pretty savvy about the way that he did it. He just got enough Republicans as well on the Rules Committee at the time to break the grip of Judge Smith, and that's how civil rights bills eventually made it to the floor.
I got 1 minute. Do you have any idea what Trump is trying to hide in his tax returns he won't let us see?
No, I think that one of the things that we should be mindful of is I read the 14,000 words that the New York Times published, and I thought that it was breathtaking in its scope. So I'm hopeful that we'll have a chance. For good sense to prevail and have the president just to voluntarily release some of these forms to avoid what I think will be a long and drawn-out court case.
It's always wonderful to talk to our very good friend, Richie Neal, Massachusetts 1st District, my district, a Democrat in office since 1989. Again, Richie, I cannot offer you stronger congratulations than sticking with it and making this happen.
Well, thank you, Alan, very much.